And now we're joined on the line by Amanda Rishworth, who is the Shadow Assistant Minister for Education, also the federal member for Kingston. Shadow Assistant Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell, and good morning to all your listeners.
Thank you very much for joining us. And you are telling us about this announcement, which was made late last week, which Bill Shorten called Your Child, Our Future. Tell us about it.
Well, look, importantly, what we've announced is a proper funding model for our education, our schools. And what we want to see is good resources, individual attention for students, and also support for students with special needs as the core of our funding for our education system. So what we've announced really will fund our schools properly and ensure that students get a very high quality education and importantly actually be prepared for the future. We do know that we are falling behind when it comes to international education results, and so we really need to lift that up if we're going to be a globally competitive country.
We certainly are falling behind, and it is quite concerning. And I was having this conversation earlier this morning that I think a lot of educational outcomes come down to the actual standard of the teacher in the classroom. So are they equipped to deal with all of the challenges and information that they have to communicate? Will this funding assist increasing the standard of teaching?
Well, you're absolutely right that we do need to invest in our teachers and ensure that they're prepared to teach and have the skills to teach. And yes, this policy does address that. Better teachers is one of the pillars of this policy, and it will include a number of things, including ensuring particularly secondary STEM teachers have a qualification in the area that they're teaching. Of course, so we want to ensure that our teachers have the confidence to teach maths, to teach science, and so ensuring that money is directed towards improving the quality of our teachers, as well as, of course, not just their subject knowledge, but their way that they do teach as well, is critically important. So that is part of this plan. It's actually one of the five pillars of this plan, is supporting our teachers. It also looks, we've also committed to looking at entry standards for teachers, but also the quality of education they're getting at university to become teachers.
And how is this connected to the original Gonski plan? Because from what I understand of Gonski, there's really two elements there. The first element being the actual model and how you work out how much funding to give to each school, and obviously there's a formula that goes into that. Then the second element obviously is just the raw amount of money, how big the budget for education is going to be. So how does this correlate with what Gonski was intended to be?
Well, look, from the initial years 5 and 6, that has been what's been debated of Gonski at the moment. That was ensuring the state's got the full money for the 6 years. What Labor's committed to is fully fund that and that needs-based model, which is so critically important, ensuring that kids, if they come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, get extra targeted resources. Kids with a disability get extra targeted resources. So we maintain that model in years 5 and 6, but importantly our announcement gives some certainty over a 10-year period. So because we know these results are not going to change overnight, we need to put sustained investment. So that's been a critical part of what we've announced, is once again that investment. But I think the other important element of Gonski, and this is one of the things that unfortunately this government has not done, is have the accountability mechanisms. If we're giving this money to the states and the other school systems, we need to see results. We need to ensure that the money is getting to the classroom and it's going to evidence-based practice in what we know works. So critically importantly, what we will do is also have accountability measures, targets, as well as expectations about this money, while still allowing the flexibility of schools to do what they know works on the ground.
In terms of the years 5 and 6 funding, the main argument from the current government seems to be that it wasn't in the budget or it wasn't funded, because obviously the forward estimates only go for 4 years. Is there anything in that? Is that a fair comment?
Well, it's not a fair comment because, of course, the budget only projects in a four-year cycle. But there were agreements signed up with the majority of states and territories that made the commitment for the 6 years. So it's a pretty weak argument. Of course, the Liberal Party said at the election, at the last election, we are on a unity ticket with Labor when it comes to school funding. Everyone in Australia assumed that meant they would honour the six-year agreements with the states and territories and other school systems. Then they got into government and they squibbed on that promise. So, to be honest, it seems a very weak argument for really a justification for breaking their promise.
And, of course, you've cited there the issue of helping people out with special needs and perhaps providing them with more specialist teachers. Is that the biggest thing that you think is holding the education system back? If we get that right, will that assist us in maintaining our current international standing or improving it?
Well, I think it's about a number of things. Firstly, I think those with a disability have been left behind, and we need to invest and ensure that they have the support and the resources to become the very best they can and to lift their educational attainment. But of course, it's also about ensuring that teachers do have the resources, that they have the skills, and that will benefit all students. And more individual attention and targeted resources in the classroom also help. So there's a range of things that can lift our educational standards. And since 2000, I mean, we really have been falling back, particularly in the STEM area and particularly in reading. So we really do need to lift that up for all students, and that includes, and it has to be an inclusive model that includes Indigenous kids, kids with a disability, because if we don't invest in every child, then we're not going to get the outcomes we need.
And of course, the question has to be, where will the revenue for this extra expenditure come from? Where will it be in the budget? Will it be a tax increase, or will we be able to find it from other programs and savings there?
Well, we've announced about $70 billion worth of savings in opposition. That's been a number of revenue measures, including closing loopholes for very wealthy superannuants, and as well as closing some loopholes for multinational profit shifting. We've also announced some spending measures or spending cuts that include not continuing on with the Liberal Party's baby bonus that they've announced, as well as their paying polluters to pollute carbon reduction funds. So we've identified a number of savings that we think are really better spent in school education and better contributed. I think, though, there's a really other important question when we're talking about cost and how you pay for this. I think we've got to ask the question, if we don't make this investment, what will that cost our country? What will that cost our nation? And I think for the long term, this is an investment that just has to happen.
I mean, that is true. However, you've got to draw some limit somewhere, don't you? Because the revenue doesn't just keep flowing in.
Of course, and this isn't about an unlimited amount of money. This is very much following recommendations that were made while we were in government about a review to the funding model of schools. It hadn't been reviewed since the 70s and indeed had become quite historical, where there wasn't a principled needs-based funding model. And of course, as I said, it's not just the extra money. It is about our model. It is about our investment. It is about accountability and outcomes. But without the resources, saying that we're not going to invest in our schools, that we're just going, which the Liberal Party is saying, that we're just going to apply CPI, that is not enough to actually lift our standards.
Well, Shadow Assistant Minister, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mitchell.
My pleasure. Shadow Assistant Minister for Education, Amanda Rishworth, also the federal member for Kingston in South Australia.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.